Would you turn, please, to Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. We'll begin reading at verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died, and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. We have in these words, ladies and gentlemen, the curtain pulled back and an insight afforded to us of what it's like after we die. Some people say, well, we don't even know if there is life after death. Who has ever come back to tell us? Well, the Bible tells us that several people have come back, and certainly the Lord Jesus Christ has come back from the dead. And the Word of God that knows all things has told us much about life after death. What a study that is. But tonight we're just going to confine ourselves to this passage of Scripture that we have read and look at life after death as it concerns two people. One whom we know as here as the rich man. His name's not given. The other person's name is given. His name is Lazarus. I do not believe that this is a parable. Some do. Even if it were a parable, it would not change the truths that are here. But I don't believe it's a parable. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ was telling of two individual people. And out of respect, perhaps, for the man who died and went to hell, and for his family still alive, he did not divulge the name. He gave the name of Lazarus because Lazarus had gone to Abraham's bosom, just an Old Testament title of the resting place of the redeemed of the Lord Jesus Christ. So tonight, for a short while, I want us to look at both these men. And in looking at them, we'll see something of life after death. It is something we need to be thinking about. We concern ourselves so much with the things of this life. And while it is important for us to do that within reason, yet so often we do it at the expense of the life to come. We never think of preparing for the life to come. Let's notice these two men then in this context. Let's take, first of all, the rich man. And notice what the Lord Jesus says about him. And bear in mind, what we're learning here is something that the Lord Jesus has told us himself. The first thing he shows us about this man is the awareness that he possessed. Now remember, he has died. The Bible says this man has died. And we are told that he's aware of certain things. Let me just refer to some of them again. For instance, in verse 23, this rich man became very much aware of the existence of the great patriarch Abraham. Now, Abraham had died a long, long time before the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking. But this man who has since died and has gone into this part of the afterlife, where unconverted people go that the Bible calls hell, right away he recognizes Abraham. And he also recognizes Lazarus, whom he knew himself personally on earth. After all, Lazarus fed on the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. And the dogs came and licked up Lazarus' sores. Were they the dogs of the rich man? But at any rate, this rich man recognizes and is aware of something else, that he has still five brothers who have not died. He himself has died. He's gone into God's great eternity, but his memory and his knowledge and his awareness tells him he has five brethren still alive on earth. And there's something more that he's aware of. He's aware of his father and his father's household. Notice verse 27. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. He also was aware that although he was dead, yet he was existing consciously. The 28th verse tells us this. He says, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Very much alive, very much in existence. And he knew he was in a place, not a state, not a world of fantasy, but in a place. He calls it a place of torment, a place where there was terrible suffering. You need not be one bit doubtful of the fact that there is life after death. Death does not bring an end to our existence. Once a person we know, whether it's a loved one or an acquaintance, dies, before the undertaker can get to do the dignities that are required for the body, that person has gone consciously into eternity. The body is just the shell. It's just the tabernacle. It's just the house where they lived for so many years. But they're existing elsewhere. And this man was aware of all of this. He knew that he had died. He knew that he was in a place. He called it the place of torment. He recognized Abraham. He recognized Lazarus, whom he knew on earth. He knew that his five brothers were still living, and that he had a home called his father's house. That's the first thing I want you to be aware of yourself. And feel it keenly, friend, that when you die, when I die, we'll still be living on somewhere else beyond this earth. But notice the second thing. There was not only the awareness that he possessed, but there is the anguish that he felt. Notice what he says in verse 23. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments. Verse 24, he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. At the end of verse 25, We have the word tormented again. At the end of verse 28, he refers again to his torment. Here's a man in great anguish. First of all, there's the physical aspect of it. He talks about the flame. If you ever stop to think that there's fire in hell, there's darkness. The Bible calls it the blackness of darkness forever. We're also told it's the place where the worm dieth not and the fire will not be quenched. Now you think of the agony that that is bound to produce. And all of these appetites that he had, his love for fashion, his love for finance, and his love for good food, all of that would be missing. He was so accustomed to it on earth, but he would have none of it in this place where he now was, the place called hell. Desires that would never be fulfilled. But there was not only physical, there was the mental anguish. Verse 25, he begins to remember. Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things." He not only was to remember that, but he could also remember, as we've already seen, he had family members that were still unconverted. And that was all part of his anguish, the suffering of his mind, as well as the suffering of his body. And when people die in their sins and reject the Lord Jesus Christ, do you know that part of the anguish they suffer in hell is the anguish of remembering gospel missions like this? The times that they sat and heard God's word preached sincerely, with firm, strong entreaty and a longing on the part of the speaker or singer that you would come to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust Him as your own Savior, a personal Savior, one who would be unfailing and who would never leave you nor forsake you and give you satisfaction and contentment and salvation above all. And you remember, whether it was a boy in Sunday school or a girl in a children's meeting or whether it was in a gospel service like this or a church service somewhere else, you'll remember time and time again, and that will exacerbate the torment and the anguish that you're suffering in hell. Is that not a solemn thing to think about tonight? But there was not only the physical and the mental suffering with regard to himself, but there was that anguish with regard to his family. And I wonder tonight, and this is a grave and solemn thing to say, could there be people in hell and they're in torment of mind because of you that are going to the place of terrible punishment? His anguish, his awareness. And then notice the appeal that he made. First of all, for himself. He cries for mercy. He says, "Would you have some compassion and consideration for me?" And then he cries for a little relief. Notice verse 24. "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." Oh, what suffering this poor man must have been going through and still is. Such suffering that he feels that just the little drop of water on a little finger upon his parched tongue would give a little relief. Oh, the suffering! The appeal he made for himself. The appeal that he made for his brothers. Oh, the ties of family are strong after death, friend. Death may break the chain now, and those of us who are left may feel an emptiness and an ache because of loved ones who have been taken from us. But oh, the anguish in hell for those of their loved ones who are not yet saved, lest they also come to the place of torment. But oh, a few of Christian loved ones who have died in Christ. It's the very converse that's true.
They're saying, oh, if they only knew the joys that await them here, they wouldn't want to live on earth any longer. But it was not like this for this man. He's in anguish. He's aware of the situation. And he's appealing for mercy for himself and for his family. But notice one other thing about this man. The answer that he received. He got an answer. I want you to notice, first of all, that the answer reveals to us that in the afterlife there are changes to take place. Notice verse 22. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. By the way, there's no mention of the poor man being buried. Probably lay in the street somewhere to the dogs that had licked his sores earlier, began to feed upon him. But there were changes. And this rich man now has gone to hell. And when he's appealing for relief, the answer comes back to him that you in your lifetime had the good things and Lazarus the evil. But now he is comforted and you're not. What a change life after death brings. Oh, you may be affluent now. You may be the high and mighty at this present time. You may think that you have need of nothing and that you'll get by with your own business acumen and with your own initiatives that you take. And while much of that is very good, it's certainly not good if you leave God out of it. But oh, if you die like that, there are going to be changes. Great changes in the afterlife. But there's another answer he got. Not only would there be changes, but that whenever people die, that's how they're going to be in all eternity. Notice the 26th verse. Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. Now verse 26. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Do you know what he's saying? He says, as the tree has fallen, there it lies. There's a gulf here. Even if we wanted to come to you, we can't. And you certainly can't come to us. Is that not something that's staggering? That if you die outside of the Lord Jesus Christ and will not accept the message of the gospel and receive the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart, once you die and go into God's eternity, you'll be conscious of all of your need and the need of others. But you'll never be able to change the situation. And you'll never, ever be able to get into heaven. There is no second chance after death. But he got another answer. Not only would there be great changes after death in the afterlife, not only as people die, that's how they'll be after death for eternity. But the other answer is this, that a return of one from the dead will not convince anybody on earth of their need of a Savior. You say, oh, I thought that if somebody came back and told me what it was like, then I would move myself to lay hold on Christ. You wouldn't, friend. Because, first of all, it's being told us here in the Bible. Notice what we read in verse 29. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. That's what the word of God says. This rich man wanted somebody to come back, wanted Lazarus to come back and warn his family members. And what Abraham says, they have the word of God, Moses and the prophets. That was the word of God then. And if they won't listen to the word of God, they'll not listen to anybody that comes back from the dead. And that happened after this. whenever Lazarus, another Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, was raised from the dead after dying, being dead for 4 days. Many people come out to see what had happened when he was resurrected. There was still a large band of people who knew all about Lazarus' resurrection that wanted to put the Lord Jesus Christ to death. My dear friend, this answer is that the only way that you'll become a Christian is through the Word of God, the gospel of Christ proclaimed from the Word, the power of the Holy Ghost applying the message of the gospel to you and giving you the new birth experience. And that's what you need. You've got to be born again tonight. There have been no gimmicks in this tent. There has been no sensationalism. Just the singing, old-fashioned singing night by night, old-fashioned preaching, and a dependence upon the Holy Spirit to bring the glorious message of God's love through Christ's saving work on the cross to the heart and conscience of each one of us. Tonight you're getting another opportunity so that whenever you die, you'll not go into this awful place called hell. But there's another man in the story. His name is Lazarus. We would not be doing fair to this passage if we did not look at him and see the other aspect of life after death. I want you to notice, first of all, about this man, his circumstances. What a pathetic case this poor man was. Notice, first of all, his poverty. He was a beggar. You can well imagine if he was a beggar, he must have been in difficult circumstances. But there was no welfare state in those days, and very few people to look after the poor. And certainly this rich man didn't do that. Because we are told about the rich man himself that he was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But this man Lazarus, he was a beggar. He was led at the gate of the rich man. Now, we don't know how far the gate was from the house. Maybe it was a mansion-type situation. A long lane, and every day, crumbs that had fallen from the rich man's plate and table were picked up, and some kind-hearted person, maybe a servant in the mansion, brought them down to that poor old beggar that was sitting at the gate. And then the dogs came, and the Bible says, moreover, in addition, the dogs came and lick the man's wounds. What poverty. What indignity. Dogs and crumbs coming to the aid of this man. What a picture of the abject mess of people's lives as a result of sin. Oh, many other stories that could be recounted of how sin has blasted a life. When they took their first drink of alcohol, they said, oh, mother or father will not know. But before very long, it got a grip on you. And now, years later, it may have cost you your job. It may have cost you your family. It may have cost you your health. It will certainly cost you your soul. And the same can go for the drugs. Poverty. Indignity. You think of the sores. Think of the stench and suppuration of them day after day. And the only relief is the dog or the dogs coming and licking those wounds. Think of the man's agony, the pain, the inflammation of those wounds. Think of his suffering, his body not getting proper feeding. See the picture? But it's all changed for him now. This man died. We don't even read that he had a burial. But we learn something. We learn that there was great company for this man. That's a tremendous thing. This man had company. All right, royal company it was for him, because there was a great change. What an experience. The Bible says he died. No funeral was mentioned. But the man died. Just like the rich man, The rich man may have died later, but our poor beggar friend Lazarus died. And the Bible tells us that you and I are going to die as well. The Bible says that, I know thou wilt bring me to death and to the house appointed unto all living. It is appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment is going to come. You may be a young person tonight, but you're going to die. The Bible tells us there's no discharge in that war. The Word of God assures us continually that there's no man that hath power over a spirit in the day of death. When God says, come, then there's not a thing that anyone in the world, all the greatest of medical advances, and we're so thankful for every one of them. Once our time comes, the Bible says there are bounds in front of us, and whenever we come up to them, there is no way that we can be called back. Change came. What an experience. He died. And the Bible tells us that he entered into great company then because the angels came. Not even an angel. Oh, no funeral for this man. The rich man, I'm sure, had one of the greatest funerals ever seen around the neighborhood in years. And many eulogies were spoken on behalf of him. For this poor non-entity of a beggar had no funeral. But out of that old mangled corpse that was worn with weakness and sickness and had finally died, God sent the angels, not just one, more than one. And they took him out of the body. And they brought him right into that glorious land where there was felicity and rest and peace. What a commission those angels had that day when God says, go down to my servant Lazarus. And by the way, the rich man didn't go to hell because he was rich, and neither did Lazarus go to heaven because he was poor. It's what they did with the Lord Jesus and the Word of God that determined where they went after they died. The location, as we've already noticed, was Abraham's bosom. Place of great rest. Do you remember what happened when the Lord Jesus was speaking to a crowd? Some were accepting him, some were rejecting him. This is what he said. Many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom, that is, the people who had all the privileges and rejected the gospel message, shall be cast out where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, there are people all over the world tonight in so many different countries that are getting gloriously saved. And the people in this land that's had gospel privileges year after year are rejecting Christ day by day. What a terrible plight and peril awaits you, my friend, if you're one of them. But let me say something else about this man, and that is the comfort that he enjoyed. We've seen the great change, seen his circumstances. Notice the comfort. This comfort was in contrast with the life that he lived before on earth. The angel says to the rich man, or Abraham says to the rich man, you in your lifetime received good things, and Lazarus evil. It's changed for Lazarus now. He's comforted, and you're tormented. No more agony, no more poverty, no more indignity, no more misery for this man. Rather relief and enrichment and contentment. Where the weary cease, the wicked cease from troubling. And the weary are at rest. See what life's after death? It's like we haven't even dealt with heaven very much as it's found in other places in the Bible. But we do learn in the book of Revelation that the dead who die in the Lord are going to rest from their labors. They're not going to be idle. They're going to be busy in heaven. They're going to serve the Lord. But they're going to rest. No more toil, no more pain, no more suffering, no more anguish, no condemnation. There was a time on earth
whenever they turned from their sin, and whenever they trusted their life to the Lord Jesus Christ and took Him as their Savior. Lazarus has been there in heaven for all of these centuries. The rich man has been suffering in hell the like period of time. And what we're seeing tonight is something of life after death. You know, the Bible tells us that Paul on one occasion said, I have a desire and to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. He says, I'd love to do that more than anything, but I know that I'm needed on earth. You need me. You need me, he said. But he said, I know that I'm going someday to be with the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, that can be you tonight. What an opportunity you're getting. We've been looking, we've had to do this on this mission. We would not be faithful if we did not preach the whole counsel of God. And while it's not pleasant to talk about hell and judgment and wrath, yet it needs to be referred to. It needs to be proclaimed. But there's the other side. There are the glories of heaven. No more tears. No more night. No more sorrow. No more suffering. And you know how it all comes about? Through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. In loving kindness Jesus came, our souls in mercy to reclaim, and from the depths of sin and shame, in love He has lifted me. Oh, tonight get your eyes on Christ. The church cannot save you, neither can the sacraments, neither can your best resolves and good intentions. You must come tonight just as you are, without one plea, but that Christ's blood was shed for thee, and that He bids you come to Him and say, Lamb of God, I come. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You're still in time. You're still alive. The door of mercy is still open. You have not entered the afterlife yet. But we do not know when that time may come. So I said to you, today if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. He can be found here tonight. He's near and in the tent. Will you take Him as your Savior? Be prepared. Trust Him tonight. Right now. Shall we pray together? Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. How could we ever know of what things were like after we die if it were not for the Bible? We thank Thee for the Word of God that we have been listening to and proclaiming, that gives us an insight to some extent of what life after death is like for those, first of all, who die not Christians, and for those who die who are Christians. And Lord, we pray that in this tent that Thou will speak to each individual now. Those of us who are saved, may we lift up our hearts in gratitude tonight and thank You for saving us, so that whenever death comes, we'll be prepared and we'll go straight into the presence of the Lord in the glory. And for our dear friends here tonight who have no assurance that it is well with their soul, may they see the fact that they can be saved tonight. And may they see the urgency of the situation. And I pray, Lord, that in these closing minutes of our campaign service, there will be people who will realize it's time to flee from the wrath to come and put their faith in the Lord Jesus and call upon Him to be their Savior this very moment. Grant it, Lord, we pray. Amen.